Thank you, Philip. Good morning. I'm really excited to be here. For some reason, I woke up very early this morning, just thinking about you guys, thinking about the message, thinking about this morning, really. I don't know, just adrenaline or excitement. It's probably a mixture of everything. But I'm here, and I actually woke up at 6:30 and just tossing back and forth in my pillow, and and how to, you know, what's going to happen, and who am I going to see and meet today. So here we are. This morning, I want to, not necessarily teaching, but I want to encourage you in the topic of adversity. Adversity is something we deal with every day in our lives. It's not something that we could, well, run away, or it's always going to be there. And really, adversity, it's really how we deal with it. How do we deal with adversity? And a lot of times we find ourselves, again, a little running away from it, ignoring it, but it's always going to be there, which is fine. And there are people who just couldn't deal with it, that they get into maybe drugs, substance abuse, or even alcohol, or, you know, some might deal with it by so many different ways. It's all over the map, really, how we deal with adversity. Someone might go to friends, which is good. And a lot of times we go to the wrong kind of friends who give you wrong kind of advice and encouragement or discouragement. And there are people who simply goes to God, right? And here this morning, I wanted to focus on where we should go and the bright path to go. Over the weekend, I was talking to my son, you know, talking about my son, and just like Philip did with his son. He went to a fellowship, and then the topic of discussion was mental health. And I picked him up, and we went on the way home. He asked me, "Dad, how come people have problems? Why can't they just kind of brush it away? Or just say, well, forget about it, just like that. You know, make a decision, forget about it, you know, move on." Well, I said to him, "Son, it's not that simple. Because there's mental health, it's a wide range, and a lot of people couldn't deal with it. And you're still young, you're 15, and you know there are deeper things and more difficult things will arise as you grow, and we need to deal with it." So, you know, to his young mind, he goes, "Oh, why can't we just brush it off?" Something we can't. Adversity. There's one conversation I had with someone when we had a prayer meeting, or weekly prayer meeting, and then we have a list of things to pray for. And I'm sure you're this church, and your personal way, you have a list as well. And then we were praying for, like, oh, so-and-so is sick, so-and-so have, you know, this illness, and we need to pray for it, and ask God to take it away, a certain individual has this kind of problems and difficulty in his life. You know, pray God that will take it away. He goes, and I goes, "Wait a minute. Is that how God wants us to pray? Is take our problems away, or take our sickness away? Maybe God wants us to have this sickness. Maybe God wants us to have this problem. Maybe God wants us to have this adversity." So the next question naturally goes, then how should we pray?
What about we start praying for strength? What about we pray for our focus? And what is really centered around a problem? Why don't we start praying how we should deal with it? Instead of brushing things under the carpet, hey God, hey, you know, take it away. I don't think God would want to do that. I think God wants us to face adversity for the very reason that He wants us to want to draw us back to Him. He wants has a father longing to be with his son, like Philip was saying. You got a heavenly Father who longing to be with us and desire for us. So, you know, when things are good, you know, a lot of times we forget about things. With it, you know, really, God is the first one to go. We forget about God. You know, life is good. You know, we have a great job, great, you know, family's going well. You know, no adversity. Oh, something might fall. When that happens, we just kind of collapse. We don't know what to do, right? But God wants us to have adversity because He longs to be with us. He wants our attention. If you have your Bibles with, would you turn to Psalms 143? Here's the David who's going through a tremendous amount of trouble. He's running away from his enemy. His enemy wants to kill him. He wants to hurt. They're looking for him, and he's running away and he's hiding. And this is what his plea is before God. It says 1-6. O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. What he's saying to God is, Lord, I know I'm guilty. I know I'm a sinner. You know, that everybody else in this world is a sinner. I am a sinner. I'm no different. Have mercy on me, basically, he's trying to say, ask and plead to God. The enemy, verse 3, the enemy pursued me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. So with all that adversity compresses in his head, obviously he's having a hard time. He's come to a point where he's rock bottom. Basically, he's hiding in a cave below ground, like those who are dead. That's what that's what he's describing. I'm as low as you can get. So he's pleading to God, Lord, help me. I don't know if we ever been to that kind of places. Now, I know for a fact that we live in the North America. You know, life is good. We want food, we go to Safeway, our superstore. We need clothes, we go to Super Walmart. We need whatever, we go to Super whatever, right? Everything is there for us. Everything is so convenient. We don't have to walk there anymore, we just order online. And it will be free shipping to your door. That's why Future Shop shut down. Oh my goodness. Anyways, that's our world. It's convenient. No adversity at all. And it's hard, really, for us to really understand what David is going through. But here he is, the lowest he can be. And the Lord stated in his spirit, "My soul, my spirit faints. My spirit is crushed." Mental state, emotional state, psychological state, all crushed. I'm totally lost. That's what he's saying. And then what happens? Verses 5. "I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what hands have done." And then he realized, wait a minute. In the midst of chaos, disorder, adversity, the low of his life, he remembers God. That's where the place where God wanted him to be. You see? He allows us to be. It's the same thing with, you know, not only with David, but with us. He allows us to go down as low as we can ever go in North America. And that's where he get our attention. Jim, where are you? It's finally, I got to get your attention. Finally, I got your attention. Finally. Do you know I missed you? Do you know all this time you went to church weekly? Yeah, you really forgot about me, really. That was just your routine. Were you really there for me? But now I got you where I want you to be. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So, well, David, things went on. He remembered the days of old. He remembered the time that he worshiped God. He remembers he experienced mercy and grace and love. He experienced God. But he had forgotten about God until this time. Number 6, "I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land." Adversity leads us to God. Here's a quote from Walt Disney. Not a Christian connotation, but here it is. "All the adversity I have had in my life, all my troubles and obstacles have strengthened me. You may not realize it when it happened, but a kick in the teeth may be the best thing in the world for you." Because that drives us. It could also break us. Adversity could also break us. It really boils down to, how do we deal with adversity? How do you deal with adversity? The great key of David's success in the dealings adversity is really his good attitude. His humble attitude. His desperation attitude that led him to seek God. You know, not self-centered. Yeah, I could do this on my own. I'm going to deal this on my own. If I sit here long enough in this cave, my enemy will pass by. Will forget about me. Right? I don't think so. Or self-reliant. And a lot of guys would do this. Oh, I have a problem. I'll just solve it, try to do it myself. And next thing you know is that, guess what? It goes like a snowball effect. It will dig a hole deeper and deeper, falling flat on our faces one day. But here's David. it's showing us a good attitude in these passages. And in his struggle, it brought himself to God. And here's a quote from Abraham Lincoln. "Nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power." So, my friends, David has lots of power back then. He's a king. But didn't do him any good. What made him become strong is the opposite. Adversity. Isn't it? And that's where God wanted him to be. You know, it's good for us when we, if you look at the scripture, it goes, oh man, all these holy people in the Bible, and such as David or Paul or Peter, they all go through adversities. Solomon and all those faithful people, Moses, every one of them, every single one of them have gone through dramatic adversity. And then look at us, we're no different. So why do we have adversity? Is it because God wants to ignore us? Or a lot of times we feel that God is ignoring us when we have adversity. This scripture let us know that having trouble doesn't mean that God doesn't love us or nor that he forsake us. And a lot of times we tend to think that way, that when we have adversity, we drop God. We have adversity, we just don't feel like going to church anymore. I don't know if you ever feel that. You know, as a pastor, sometimes I feel that way. I felt that way. How do I go to church? I don't feel like God can help me. I don't know if you feel that way. I'm being honest with you. I'm a human being who's as well. And there's times that I didn't go to church because I was questioning God. I was being honest with him. A lot of times we blame God for our adversity. How dare you do this to us? You hear that a lot when certain person they love found out they have cancer or are terminally ill. Why did you do that to us? Why did you put this in our family? We love you. We serve you. We gave so much to you. Why is my family falling apart? Why, God? What do you do this to us for? I thought we were faithful to you, and you're supposed to be righteous. Why do you do that to us? Oh, that's so common. And I have no friends that left the church because of that. And blame God. Hold that grudge against God. You think God would do that to you? We don't understand what sicknesses is. Do we? We look at it in the worldly level in the sense that sickness is bad. Well, yeah, it's bad. It kills people. Sin kills people. But the thing is that you don't realize God hates sin. God hates sicknesses too. He's trying to get rid of it.
But the problem is, he healed us. The sick person is already healed. But we didn't know that. But we hold grudge because we want to see the person well now, now, and now. Right? Why? Why did you put that sickness in that my loved one? Or me? It's not fair.
How do we deal with that? Well, David, seek hard after God in this time of lowness and adversity. He seek God. That was his secret of his life, in his success of life. And he seeks out the heart of God. And then in the midst of seeking hard after God, he became thirst for God. His trial made him thirsty. He wanted God more, even more. Number six. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. 7. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. He thirsts for God. Imagine that. Imagine that, in a deep adversity in your life, can you worship God in the most profound way? But that's what's happening with David. You know, it's hard. In our minds, it's easy to worship God when things are good. We come here and we're happy. You know, we're singing the happy, happy song, right? And worship God. God is great. God is good, you know? And then when things are not so good, we come in here and go, oh, man, it's hard to sing. It's hard to think that God is good when things are bad in your life. When we're starting to think like that, and then feels like that, that means, oh, wait a minute. That's not what's happening over here in Psalm 143. It seems like when David, in his lowest time in his life, he was able to be close to God. Able to worship God in the deepest level, in the deepest sense. It doesn't make sense, does it? Oh. Then here's an attitude check. Then, okay, so that means that we haven't dealt this, like, we haven't dealt this adversity in our lives in a proper sense? There you have it. When we start to deal with adversity in our own ways, God is left behind. When God is left behind, it's very hard for us to worship God, even though we're in worship. You ever heard this quote? I don't know if you heard this quote. I might not look happy, but I'm full of joy. If we deal with adversity in our own way, I might not look happy. At the same time, whatever I'm feeling inside really sucks. There's no joy. I don't know how many of us have been to a Christian funeral. You know, people are sad. People are sad. You know, at the same time, they're joyful. Knowing that the person deceased is with God, with Jesus. So they're going through adversity, but at the same time,
They're sad. They're not happy. But within themselves, guess what? They're joyful. Wow, my husband is with God. He doesn't have to suffer anymore. He's with God. He's with Jesus. Praise the Lord. See?
The way God thinks, the way the scripture teaches us,
very different how we perceive of the adversity and how we deal with it. It's very different. And a lot of time, we mess it up.
Everyone handles adversity in life. No one's journey is easy. It's how they handle it and makes people unique.
We love this quote.
Most of us, like this man, who came home from work and told his wife, "I have a really bad day at the office. Please, if you have any bad news, keep it to yourself." To which the wife replied, "Okay, no bad news. No bad news. Remember our 4 children? Well, 3 of them didn't break their arm today." You can't insult yourself like this from trouble, from adversity. You can't run from it, hide from it, or keep it and hide it under the carpet, really. But you can learn from it and grow from it and ask God to teach me what your will is for my life with this adversity. Lastly, adversity had led David to commitment to God. David is broken, his heart broken, spirit faint, but he keeps on calling God. He keeps on reaching God. Not only makes him learn about God's will through his trials and tribulation, but he also seek after the heart of God. To the point he thirsts for God. You know what? It also led him to commit to a committed relationship with God. Consider this. Let's continue reading. "Let the morning bring me words of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go. For you, I lift up my soul." 5-8 is my most favorite, one of my favorite Psalm of encouragement. I just really love that verses 5-8. "Rescue me from my enemy, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me to unlevel ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life in your righteousness. Bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. Verse 7, "I'll die without you." Verse 8, "I depend on you." Verse 10, "You are my God." Verse 12, "I am your servant." See, these are the commitment that David made to God. These are the commitment. Through his adversity, these are the commitment. "I'll die without you. I'm depending on you. You are my God. I am your servant." Sure, David was searching for answer in the midst of his heartache. But more importantly, more than anything, he was searching for God. God doesn't want us just search for answer, looking for solution to solve our problems. But more importantly, he wants us to search for him, you know, in an adversary. You know, whenever you go through problems, things don't go wrong. You feel like, oh, okay, something's not right here.
What is your tendency? Is your tendency to try to solve it? Or, Lord? Or pause and say, Lord, what are you trying to say to me here? What are you trying to say to me here? My friend, I'm here to encourage us. This is the way to do it. Pause and say, and ask to God, what are you trying to say to me here? What are you trying to say to me? Or come to your pastor and say, this is my problems. This is my adversary. What do you think God is trying to say to me here? See, when I believe that when you go to someone else and share with your problems, you're going to God as well. And I believe God works through people to touch people's lives. And that's why he gave us this church, where we could share our issue with. And I'll tell you, and I hope this church is not like this, that we cannot do that because we will want other people to talk rumors about us. And that will be a sad thing. The reason why we're here is because we need each other. And when we go to each other with our issues, guess what? We also, at the same time, we are going to God with that. And I might advise you, you know, that who you go to, your intent is really to get spiritual advice. So I hope that those who you go to will give you that sound spiritual advice rather than misleading you. And when you do go to the people for spiritual advice, guess what? I really believe that God will bless you through that. It's like seeking God. It's like worshiping together here.
If the trying question of life had brought you to a place where you want to know God more, then you have come to the right place. Life is not about success and winning and living free pain life. Real life is about right relationship, about learning and trusting. And most important relationship of all is your relationship with God. I want to end with this.
About 3 years ago, I guess, my sister was driving home, and he calls my mom, very dramatic conversation. It goes like this: Mom, with tears and cry, hurt in her voice, my husband just found out he has liver cancer. She's blabbing, just pouring her soul to mom. Mom just say, well, just hang in there, trust God, pray. And if you know liver cancer is they're very nasty. And I know people who found out they have cancer, they in 6 months they were gone. So they're very nasty cancer, terminal cancer. So he has that. But that adversary drove them to God. David, that's his name, her husband, is quiet. You usually sit and come in church. It doesn't do too much. police officer. And step up. Went to the church and say, I need prayer. I need your support. You know? And of course, the support prayer was just pouring upon them. And they know them, right? Been in their church all their life. And that's what church is all about, isn't it? And they pray. So that was, Nelson was just what, you know, a week before my sister's 40th birthday. And it was supposed to be a big, big milestone for her. But you have this news coming to her life. So what we did as siblings is that, you know what? We talked among ourselves. I said, we got to be there for her. We can say, oh, we'll pray for you, you know, well, two of them in Toronto and two of us in Vancouver. We need to come together because this is the time where they needed us. So quickly, we booked a flight. We all went to Edmonton. And then we found one evening together, everybody, we're all 20 plus, like cousins and nieces, nephews, uncles, aunts, whatever. We're all in the room, in their basement. We sat David in the center, and we laid, and we shared. And he shared, and he cried, and we whole family cried. And we lay hands on him as a family. We faced adversity together. And you know what? And we pray, and we lay hands, and we were very careful. We said, Lord, we didn't say, Lord Jesus, you know, heal him right now, right in this instant. I mean, he could do that, right? But we didn't pray for that. We prayed for his strength. We prayed for his spirit, and for his growth, for his, for God's power to be bestowed upon him. Because that itself, it's a miracle enough for us to see. Right? And I know for a fact that when people coming together like that and pray, God will be involved. And all we have to do is trust him. And as a result of, because of what happened to him, his adversary became our as a family. Right? And guess what happened? Because of it, it binds our whole family together. And we never felt that close in as a family in our lives. So that's where God wants us to be. Right? And I thank God for that moment. Every day.
The deepest level of worship is praising God in spite of pain, thanking God during the trials and trusting him when we're tempted to lose hope, and loving him when he seems so distant and far away. At my lowest, God is my hope. At my darkest, God is my light. At my weakest, God is my strength. At my saddest, God is my comfort. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your love for us.